Good evening, everyone. Glad to see you all here tonight safely. Perhaps we could start a meeting tonight with the words of 669, hymn 669. Hark, it is the shepherd's voice I hear, out in the desert dark and drear, calling the lambs who've gone astray, far from the shepherd's fold away. Let us just bow and unite our hearts in prayer. Our gracious, loving, eternal Heavenly Father, we thank Thee, Lord, once more we're found in Thy house. We thank Thee, Lord, for this Wednesday night prayer meeting and Bible study. We pray, Lord, that Thou will bless us. Thank Thee, Lord, that Thou hast said where two or three are gathered together in My name, there am I in the midst. We thank Thee, Lord, that Thou art here, for it is indeed Thy presence that maketh the feast. And we rejoice, loving Father, for each head bowed before Thee, washed in the precious blood of the Saviour, redeemed and Thy child and forever we are. And loving Father, we pray for the meeting tonight. We thank Thee for our brother, Robert, that Thou hast brought into our midst. We thank Thee, Lord, for saving him, Lord. We thank Thee, Lord, for giving him that call, Lord, into full-time service. And we pray, Lord, that Thou would continue to use him and bless him as he labours for Thee. We think, Lord, of our congregation here, Lord, and we pray for each and every one. We think of many of them that are laid aside at this time, Lord, and we just ask Thee, Lord, that Thou would meet each and every one of them at the very point of their need. And loving Father, we think of the youth fellowship, Lord, and Friday night we pray, Lord, that Thou would give them travelling mercies. We think, loving Father, of the services in the Lord's day. We pray, Lord, that Thou would bless in the Sabbath school before the main meeting, the Bible classes, undertake for each teacher. We pray, Lord, and Thou would speak through Thy word in each and every class, that even this Lord's Day morning, some precious young soul would come and put their hand in the hand of the Saviour. And loving Father, we pray for Mr. Baxter as he had come along in the morning. We pray, Lord, that Thou will undertake for him. May he indeed be the Lord's messenger in the Lord's message. And again on the Lord's Day evening, when he would come with a word of testimony, and him himself and Mrs. Baxter would sing to us, Lord. We pray, Lord, that thou would bless them and undertake for them. And loving Father, we thank thee, Lord, for our loved ones and dear ones, our families. We thank thee for each family represented here tonight. We pray, Lord, that each one of us would know thy blessing upon our family circles. And loving Father, we think of our land, Lord, and the great need there is throughout it, Lord. How far away from thee we are. O loving Father, we pray in loving kindness, Lord, thou would come again into our midst. Thou would move from our cities and through our towns and our villages, from house to house, Lord. The power of God, the Holy Spirit, would move amongst us. And indeed, Lord, that those precious souls would be reached and saved. O loving Father, we thank thee, Lord, it is thy work, Lord. And we are only thy mouthpieces, Lord, and we are only thy workmen. But help us, Lord, to be faithful. Help us to be faithful as a congregation here. Faithful, Lord, in witnessing for thee. Faithful, Lord, in living for thee. And faithful, Lord, in praying that precious souls would be won to the Saviour. Our loving Father, we thank thee, Lord, for our province. We thank thee for our nation. We pray, Lord, that thou will undertake. We think of our royal family. We pray for the king at this time. Pray, Lord, that thou will put thy healing hand upon him, Lord. And indeed, Lord, if he knows thee not as Saviour, we pray, Lord, that thou would move upon his heart and save him by thy grace. Loving Father, bless our government. Undertake for them, lead and guide the devolved administrations. We pray, Lord, that thou will undertake for them. Give them wisdom and lead and guide them each and every step of the way. And so, loving Father, we come to thee now, Lord, and we leave this meeting before thee. We pray, Lord, that thou will undertake, that thou will bless, and thou will cover the meeting neath thy precious blood. For we ask it in our Saviour's name and for his glory. Amen. We'll further sing hymn number 513. 513. We'll just sing the first, the third, and the fourth verses only, please. The first, third, and fourth. Blessed is the services of the Lord, the King. Precious are the jewels we may help to bring. Down the passing ages, words of counsel ring. He that winneth souls is wise. Amen. We're very glad tonight to welcome back amongst us our brother Robert McCallum, one of the team of the Child Evangelist team of our mission board. And he's no stranger to us, so we just hand the rest of the meeting over to our brother now and pray that he may know the Lord's blessing as he speaks to us. Thank you, brother.
I'd like to thank our brother for leading the meeting tonight. That takes a lot of pressure off. And it is indeed a joy to be with you. I want to thank Ken as well for his help on the technical end. Sometimes that can be the most difficult part of a deputation meeting. Whenever that's all sorted and settled, then it helps a little bit more and allows you to focus on the job in hand. It's nice to be with you. I would like to first of all thank your minister and the session for giving us the opportunity to come back and to share with you a little about what the Lord's doing amongst the boys and girls of our province. You know, whenever we do a deputation meeting, there is language that sometimes we have to use, and I've often said this, that we're not really comfortable with. And what I mean by that is very simply this. Tonight, as we bring the report, there will be an awful lot of I this and I that and I the other thing. But I would hope tonight that very speedily you'll get past that. And if you see anything of eternal value, anything of the furtherance of the gospel, anything of salvation amongst our children, know of a surety tonight that it's all of the Lord. We're really only here to give a report on what the Lord has done, what the Lord is doing, and what the Lord in his will do. And so with that said tonight, we want to share with you just a few verses from Exodus. And then what we will do, we'll not be here to preach. We'll leave that to those who are capable of such things. Whenever I stand before a hall full of adults, my first wish is that it was children's meeting night and that the hall was filled with boys and girls so that I could relax a little bit and be in my comfort zone and tell you all to sit up straight and fold your arms and no more running in and out until the end of the meeting. But we want to share just a few verses with you from Exodus chapter 10. And then immediately we just share these few thoughts. We're going to go straight into the report. And we trust tonight as we give this little report that it'll enable you to be more informed and maybe more pointed in your prayers and to go away encouraged of what the Lord is doing and has done amongst our children. The Lord has been saving boys and girls, and we rejoice to be able to report that straight off the bat with you tonight. And he not only saves them, but he keeps them. And I, just the other night, I was doing a deputation meeting last night, and that's our children's meeting night, and so I tried to get to the children's meeting and then shoot on up the road. And just as we were leaving, the Lord just struck my heart with one thought. And as I looked around our workers, there are three young ladies there in their late teens, early 20s. And all three of them, amongst our workers, all three of these young ladies were saved in our children's meeting. We had the joy of pointing some of them to the Lord ourselves. And those young ladies were not from within our church family, as it were. And of course, we do need to pray and remember our little ones and our own young people. But the Lord, in his wisdom, sometimes causes a Moabite-esque, for want of a better word, somebody like Ruth to come from a far-off place to be of service and use in the things of God. And all three of these young women, not one of them had any family background in our church. All three of them were saved in our children's meeting. All three of them are now found serving the Lord in the children's meeting. All three of them are found in the services and at the prayer meeting afterwards. So the Lord not only saves the little ones, but he holds on to them. They're his. And sometimes we look at childhood faith and we don't put much emphasis on it. I don't see much hope for them. But the Lord does a work of salvation that's eternal. And we love to see little ones going on with the Lord and being of service to him. But immediately after, we bring a report with a little 5-minute PowerPoint presentation. And sometimes whenever I speak, I go a wee bit off my set, what I have written down here, my set notes. And my wife often says, you stick to your notes because these people have to get home at night. They've got work in the morning, other things to do. And you stick to, because you go way off down avenues. And then another 5 minutes is added and another 5 minutes is added. And people are glad that you only come every 3 years. So whenever we show this little PowerPoint presentation, sometimes whenever I speak, it can come across a little disjointed. I hope not so, but if that is the case, then when you see all the pictures, hopefully then everything will come together and you'll get a good full round appreciation of the work. You know, whenever I was in Bible college, we had a lot of writing to do. And as I think about this little PowerPoint, I think of the little phrase that a picture is worth 1,000 words. But whenever I was in Bible college, and I went into Bible college quite late in life, they weren't interested in any of my pictures during the exams. They wanted 1,000 words every time. And so we trust tonight that as you see these little pictures, as you see what's being presented, that it'll thrill your heart and it'll do you good in the meeting tonight. Turn to Exodus with me, please, to Exodus chapter 10. I want just to leave 3 very short thoughts with you tonight. It's with regard to the devil, and it's with regard to our children. Now, I want to say straight off the bat and immediately this. We are on the back foot in many ways because our children are born in sin and shaped in iniquity. And we must realize tonight that the devil already has them. And we need to seek the Lord to see them won for the Savior. And so we need to keep that in mind as we present this to you tonight. I want to look tonight very quickly at Satan's ploy to keep our children out of church, out of God's house, away from the place of worship. He has a ploy to do that. That is his intent for your children and for my children, for grandchildren, and for those who we know. He does not want them in God's house in any shape or form. And then I want you to realize that Satan also has a plan. And his plan is to infiltrate and to disrupt and to spoil and to pollute our children's education. We see that all around today. If you don't see it, then you've been blind to it. It was happening in my day whenever I was at school. How much more downgraded are things today? It was happening in the history class when I was in school. Whenever we were seeing pictures on the wall of various stages of Stone Age men and cavemen and all the rest of it, there's no mention of this in God's word. I've seen it in the geography class when we're talking about ice ages and millions of years and rock formations. You see it in the biology class. You see it all over. And today it'll be far, far worse for our children. And so Satan has a plan to infiltrate our children's education, and we need to be aware of that. And then lastly, Satan has, in his deviousness, he has places prepared for our children to head to in young adulthood. And we'll touch on these things in a few moments. Now, if you're well versed in your Bible, what I'm about to say should not be a strange thing to you. It should be just a rehearsal for you. But if you're not much in your Bible, and you're not up to speed with what the Lord has to say about the devil, and it's all documented for us and for our learning, then tonight you may have some things to learn. But trust not that it'll be the former rather than the latter. But let's just read a few verses together from Exodus chapter 10. We're breaking into the midst of a very long story, a very long narrative. The children of Israel have been taken slaves. They have been suffering at the hand of Pharaoh. And God then heard the cries of his people, and he has sent Moses to be a deliverer. And every time Moses and Aaron went before Pharaoh, Pharaoh would give ground and then he would renege, and the plagues came aplenty. And so we're in the midst of this story. And once again, in Exodus chapter 10 and in verse number 8, you will read that Moses and Aaron were brought again onto Pharaoh. And that's where we want to start tonight. And Moses and Aaron were brought again unto Pharaoh. And he said unto them, go, serve the Lord your God, but who are they that shall go? And Moses said, we will go with our young and with our old, with our sons and with our daughters, with our flocks and with our herds, will we go. For we must hold a feast unto the Lord. And he said unto them, Let the Lord be so with you, as I will let you go. And your little ones, look to it, for evil is before you. Not so. Go now, ye that are men, and serve the Lord, for that ye did desire. And they were driven out from Pharaoh's presence. Just with our Bibles open, let's just turn to the Lord again for a little word of prayer. Just we need his help in every matter, and most certainly just now. Dear Lord, we come to thee. We ask for help from on high. We pray, O Lord, that you'll just be near unto us. You'll give us the thoughts that we need to speak upon. We ask, O Lord, that all of the flesh would be set aside, and that which is uppermost, that which is of the Lord, would be used of thee. Come, O Holy Spirit, brood in this meeting. Prepare our hearts and help us, we pray, for we ask it in our Saviour's name. Amen. Now, as we said, we've really set out the whole stall and nearly given away everything in the first few moments there, but we'll just recap again. I want to first of all look, using these verses, at the fact that Satan has a ploy to keep our children out of church, keep our children away from God's house, keep our children out of Sunday school, and keep our children in the darkness with regard to their knowledge of the Saviour. And we see that laid out here very clearly. You see, Pharaoh, in many ways, is a type of the devil. And we see God's servant coming. And in verse number 8, things seem to start off well. Things seem to be good. Because in verse 8, we have here Moses and Aaron coming, brought before Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said unto them, Go serve the Lord your God. What a great start. Things are looking well. But you must remember that this man is the government of the time. And no doubt the dictator. He is a parliamentarian, and he speaks out of both sides of his mouth. Nothing much has changed in the mainstream of government and parliament today. And as he speaks out through both sides of his mouth, he's saying, Go serve the Lord from this side. And then suddenly he says, But who are they that shall go? It's not all plain sailing. And suddenly in verse 9, Moses, he repeats verbatim exactly what the Lord's command was to him. He didn't change it. He didn't turn it down. He didn't tone it away. He didn't make little of it. He gave it exactly as the Lord had given it to him. And God's command was very simply this. Moses said, We will go with our young, mark it, and our old, our sons, our daughters, our flocks, our herds. This is the company that would go. Now you'll notice that Moses said, first of all, above all the rest, with our young, the children were to go. Now you'll notice there too, a little further down, it talks about the flocks and the herds. And the reason why the animals were being taken, because no doubt from among those herds, among those animals, there would be those that would be chosen without blemish and without spot. And when they went to the place of worship, those animals would have been slain. Their blood would have been shed as a mark that you need to come the blood sprinkled way. But Pharaoh was not for this. And I want to paraphrase verses 10 and 11, because they're written, of course, in Old English, and sometimes if it's read too quickly or read with little thought, it can seem a little bit disjointed. But verses 10 and 11, and I want just to paraphrase exactly what Pharaoh said, exactly what he was getting at, exactly what position he was taking, and it was this: I will let you go, but what about your little ones? Some evil will befall them. Now, we can't have that, can we? Only the men can go. And he drove them out with that ringing in their ears. You see, the devil has not changed his tactics. From those thousands of years ago to this very present day, he is happy for the older folks to be in God's house. But don't let the wee ones go. They're not to be there. He'll do all in his power to keep them out of God's house. And more so, he'll do all in his power to keep them blind to the fact that they need to come the blood-sprinkled way. They need to see that sacrifice. They need to see the cross. They need to see the Savior. And he doesn't want them to see any of it. And he wants them kept out of God's house. That's the ploy that the devil has for our children. But he also has a plan. And the plan is to infiltrate their education and to disrupt it and to pollute it and to take away anything that you are doing in your own efforts to educate them spiritually, to dumb it down perhaps in the school classroom, and in fact even take it away and throw it away for something else. And we need to be very aware of that. We read of this particular effort of the devil in Daniel chapter 1. We don't need to turn to it, but it's a wonderful passage, because there in Daniel chapter 1, thinking of the devil's plan to spoil our children's education, we read there that in Daniel chapter 1 that certain of the children of Israel were to be brought. They were unblemished, they were well favored, etc. And why were they to be brought? Nebuchadnezzar made the decree that these young people were to be brought. They were to be taken away from their families, taken away from their home environment, taken away from the school that they were in Jerusalem. And verse 4 of Daniel 1 tells exactly why they were taken away. And it was to teach them the learning and the language of the Chaldeans. They were not going to learn about the one true God. They were not going to learn about the God who was the creator and sustainer of all things. They were not going to learn of the God who had to deal with sin, but yet was merciful and forgiving. They weren't going to learn any of these things. They were going to be introduced to a lot of falsehood and a lot of alternative lies and teaching. And it was all to be done in an integrated fashion. They're going to be taken in and drawn in, both to learn and to socialize. And thankfully in verse 8 we read of Daniel. Daniel purposed in his heart not to be defiled with such things, because the Lord had done a work in his heart as a child, no doubt on his mother's knee. And that's Satan's plan, to infiltrate our children's education. And we need to be very careful what they're listening to, what they're watching, what they're learning, and what they're learning that's drawing them away from the truth of God's word. But then lastly, Satan has not just a ploy or a plan, but he does have places in mind for your children and for mine. And we read about that in Exodus chapter 2. We don't need to turn to it again. You can turn to it in your own quiet time. It's a very familiar passage, a very familiar story. Moses has been born, hidden away, under threat. There he is, along the riverbank, hidden among the rushes. Miriam, the older sister, she's keeping lookout. And God so ordered things that Pharaoh's daughter would come to the river with the maids to wash. And I believe that God, at the appropriate time, as only he can do in his providence, caused that wee one to cry out. And then as the princess looked into the little basket, no doubt the Lord caused the little one to shed the tear down the little chubby cheek. And her heart just melted. And she wanted him for herself. And she knew exactly one of the Hebrews, but she loved him. And the Lord gave her that softness of heart. And then being a princess, she had no means or understanding of really how to look after a child. And so she wanted a nurse, and the call was for a nurse. And Miriam steps out. And she says, I'll get you a nurse. And of course, you know the story. She runs home and she brings her own mother. And her mother gets paid to do the job. I always smile whenever we come to that bit, because I always think that that's the first time the child benefit was ever paid by a governing body to a mother to look after their own child. And there it happened. It's old yet ever new, isn't it? God's precious word. And you know, Jochebed was a faithful, godly woman. And that little child on her knee would have been taught the things of God. He would have been taught his need of repentance. He had been told about the sin in his heart and life. He had been told that of a God that's holier and a blood sacrifice that was needed to be made. and he would have learned all these things. And others looking on, no doubt would have wagged a finger. You're wasting your time. Look at you. You're wasting your time. You needn't bother teaching him any of that. For he'll not be long till he's up in that palace. Not be long till he's up there. And with all kinds of sin and wickedness and the lavish living and the overindulgence, it's not be long till he's forgot all about what you've been teaching him. It'll be gone. It'll be no use to him where he's going. In Exodus 2 and verse 10, he did go up to the palace. Yes, he did. But that godly mother's influence paid off, because in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 24 and 25, it says, by faith, or having come to faith. And the language is really strong. Moses refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. And the lesson here tonight, men and women, is this. We need to get our children to God early in life, as soon as possible, and as often as possible. Because Proverbs 22 and verse 6 tells us to train up a child in the way he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. We trust that these few thoughts will be a blessing to your heart as you seek to bring your own children up, as you seek to be an influence upon maybe your own children's children. And we trust that we'll see many of them won for the Savior, and guarded and kept and protected and prayed for and saved early in life. I want just to, at this stage, go straight into our little report, and we'll try and be as succinct as possible. Whenever we do deputation meetings, we try to bring the work from different angles and different points of view. And tonight, we want to give you a full overview of the last 15 years, because this year for me will be my 15th year working full-time under our mission board. And you know, our beginnings were very small, going away back to 2009, 2010. And whenever we left Bible College, I went into Bible College quite late in life, as I said to you earlier. I was in my late 30s whenever I went into Bible College. I often joke that I was sitting beside young men, maybe 20, 21, 22. And whenever we were given big sheets of paper filled from top to bottom, not a picture anywhere, with lines and lines of information, in-depth stuff, these fellows would scan down through it and they would have it all memorized. No problem. Not only sometimes did I not memorize the stuff, sometimes I couldn't even remember what I did with the big piece of paper that I was given. And that's where we were. But the Lord seen us through it, and we went through Bible College. We really enjoyed those years. And we had to leave full-time employment. I hadn't been out of work one day in my life since I left school. The Lord had really blessed us in the work environment that we worked in. Whenever we went into Bible College, whenever we went full-time into the work, we had always had a real interest in children's work. We worked part-time. We did Sunday school work. We went to the Tuesday night meetings. We sat in the youth fellas, just wherever we could be of some use. But many were quite skeptical, and some people were saying to me, you know, there's not enough work for full-time. Why did you leave that good job you had? You have a wife and family, you know. Did you not aim a little higher than children? And these were the things that were presented to me. And sometimes they were a bit discouraging, but we just went on ahead anyway. We had really no idea of the day-to-day ministry in this work. We had to feel our way bit by bit. And so we just started where we were comfortable, what we knew. And that was children's meetings and children's missions. And looking back to those early days, I remember one of the very first missions that we did was in Money Slane. We were greatly encouraged to help the poor people of me, wet behind the ears, coming to do a full week mission. But we did enjoy those days, and we gained great experience, and we began to settle and establish. And then we began to think of another aspect of the work that we would really love to be involved in. And that was away from the church environment, out in the community. And the hope was to get into the schools to do assembly, to do RE classes, and to do scripture union. And much letter writing and phone calls and knocking on doors really only brought us a very limited success. We really weren't making much headway. We had to learn a lesson. The lesson was this. We had to realize it was the Lord's work. We had to wait on him. We had to eat a lot of humble pie. It wasn't going to be down to fancy letter writing and knocking doors. In my previous employment, I was always involved in sales, and we always had a fairly silver tongue when we needed it, but it wasn't going to be what was necessary in God's work. It was the Lord's work. We had to wait for him. I won't go into it tonight, but a series of circumstances have happened, and the Lord then began to open doors as only the Lord can open doors. And tonight we can rejoice to say that we would be in roughly about 50 different schools. Some schools will have us maybe once a month. Some will have us maybe a couple of times a term. Others will have us more regularly. Some will just ring us out of the blue because we live local to them and somebody else hasn't bothered coming. And we're always delighted to fill in those what I call 999 calls. And that always establishes a good rapport with the teaching staff and with the schools. Over the years, some schools have dropped us off. And we used to try to think about why, and we'd maybe overanalyze it and think maybe of something I said in the last time I was there. But usually it's down to the fact that school staff change, head teachers retire, and you're always, always continually going to the schools. Schools very rarely, unless they're very stuck, will come to me in August, September and say, I've got my rota all ready and you're all on it and you don't need to do anything, just you come along on these dates. It doesn't happen like that. You're continually having to go to them and getting the bookings. And, you know, as we look at our diary, we can just see how the Lord has his hand upon so many things. Because a Friday is a very popular day for school assemblies in many schools. And you can just see those Fridays all filling up very quickly. But you know, there's a school in the city of Lisburn, and their assembly's on a Friday. And I have, over the years, I suppose, built up a good rapport with the staff. And what they do, lock, stock, and barrel, they move all that they have planned for the Friday, knowing that I can't get there because Fridays are usually booked up to the Thursday. And that could only be of the Lord to move in the hearts of even an unsaved principal to allow that to happen. So these things we rejoice in. Some of the schools of this last while have moved some of their assemblies to the afternoon to facilitate us. So I go to an assembly in the morning, I then go then to another wee one in the afternoon, and we're able to get two assemblies maybe on a Friday. We would go as far down as Newcastle. From I live in a wee village called Ballyhalbert, away in the eastern point of the province. In fact, if you go any further, you're back in the water and you're on your way to Scotland. And then that's down the Ards Peninsula. And then we would go as far up as a primary school in Antrim town. And so that's our remit. We would do a lot of schools in Belfast, in the city of Bangor, in the city of Lisburn, all down the Ards Peninsula, a lot of County Down, and a little bit into the bottom of County Antrim. It humbles us, you know, because sometimes we go into a school and before us there'll be maybe upwards of 600 boys and girls. Now, we only get maybe 10 minutes, but I would covet your prayers that those 10 minutes will be used wisely and that we'll be able to break down the Word of God, not to fritter it away, but that the children will have an understanding. The vast, vast majority of the children before us today or about three generations away from any attendance in church. That's where we are. I remember as a little boy hearing somebody once saying, it'll not be long till they'll be sending people from Africa to Northern Ireland to evangelize. We're long into that period. The vast majority of the children before us, I would say maybe 90%, maybe more, do not know any of the basic Bible stories. Never mind the godly application that is necessary with those stories. They have no concept, understanding. No, they don't know any place in the Bible. They don't know any book in the Bible. They don't know anything about the Bible. They don't have a Bible. I can remember a few years back getting an opportunity to go into a little school, a wee country school, very, very regularly to do RE classes. Now, I always smile at this because I spent the first 16 years of my life trying to get out of school, and suddenly I'm back in as the RE teacher and didn't need any a college training for it. But whenever we went into that particular little school, a lovely little school, we, at the end of the day, would do an RE class with the P7s. Now, these wouldn't be children from dysfunctional families. These would be children from loving families, plenty of money, because whenever I went out to my car afterwards, there'd be all the big Land Rovers and all the big nice vehicles. And I was very careful of my old car door. I wouldn't touch anybody else's. And these were children that were catered for in every way, except spiritually. And I really picked up on that. I remember going into the school, doing a little series of lessons with the children on the life story of Joseph. And I just stopped. These were P7 children, finishing school, going into high school soon, age about 11. They weren't little tiny tots. And I just happened to ask, does anybody know where the story of Joseph is found in the Bible? Two hands went up out of a class of 30. One wee boy said, I think it's the book of John. Of course, he was wrong. And another wee girl, and you might laugh or smile at this, but it really broke my heart. And great enthusiasm, she said, it's the book of Guinness. It's the book of Guinness. So that's where we are. And so we covet your prayers for these children who know nothing and they need the Savior. But you know, with this we'll move on. Not only are there the boys and girls before us, but we're very aware that there are the teaching staff. And some of them are there out of duty, not out of the want to be there. Some of them will sit and mark homework. But we trust that the Lord will speak to the ear, to the heart. We are so thankful for members of staff who are saved and who are an encouragement. But there are others there, and we trust that the Lord will have a word for them in season. In fact, there's one little school that we go into very regularly, quite a distance away from our own home, but we go about once a month to this school. And I began to notice there was a new caretaker in the school, and I would always do my very best to try and chat away to anybody, and he just happened to be mopping the floor before the wee ones come in for the assembly. It kind of made me smile, because whenever they all come in for the assembly, they sat down and the teachers were saying, they move back a bit, move forward a bit, and I thought, they're getting the floor dried here. And he nipped out, and I chatted away to him and talked away, kind of a rough diamond. But lo and behold, there he was at the window of the door for the first assembly. He has since plucked up courage, and the last four or five times I've been there, he stands inside the back door for the whole of the assembly, and then he disappears off whenever the wee certificates are being handed out. So do pray for that man. Do pray for the staff. Do pray for the children, that as God's word is sown, it'll find a heart and a resting place, and that of eternal value will be had. But over this last 15 years, that work has really flourished and expanded. But another part of the work that has really expanded was an idea that came up in the mission board, and it was to do with having children's camps. Not youth fellowship camp, but children's camps. And the whole idea was to have a united children's camp across the denomination. And children between the age of 7 and 11 could come along for a week away from the home environment into a spiritual, purpose set environment. Yes, we had activities. Yes, we had our games. But we had our devotion times. We had our missionary stories. We had our meetings morning and evening. We had our gospel challenges. It was evangelical. It was there to edify those who were saved. And those camps began way back in 2014. For the first 3 years, they had them in Green Hill, in a place just outside Newcastle, which was a fine enough establishment, but we did have to share dining room facilities, etc., with other groups, and that took away from it a little bit. And so the following 3 years, we managed to get to a wonderful old stately home in Larne. It was called Rathmore House, which was far better. We had the whole place to ourselves, the whole facility to ourselves. We didn't have to look over our shoulders at any time with regards to any other group being in the background. Sadly, the lady who ran that particular establishment, her husband died, and she didn't want to continue on. And then suddenly in 2020, with all the lockdowns, there was nothing for that particular year. 2021, they had the United Children's Camp online, Well, that suited me down to the ground, because after about an hour, you just pressed the button, say goodbye to them all, and you didn't see them till the next day. And then over the last 2 years, we've been down in a place called Moy Allen, near Guildford Portadown direction. And there's a terrific facility there. Now, over all the years, have been able to invite about 50 children to come along to these camps. They're run by the Reverend McKee. You'll see them advertised there in the Vision magazine. They're also on the Mission Board website. There's one dear lady who belongs to one of our churches. I know her very, very well. And her family in the main, her own children in the main, turned away from God and got into all kinds of activities, and they're far from the Lord. But that dear lady, seeing the grandchildren coming along afterwards, there were three of them. And over the years, she paid personally for all three of those grandchildren to come, as their age allowed them, to every one of those camps. And it was a real blessing to be able, for her and for us, to be able to sort of be a witness to them with their need of the Saviour. But over all those years, they were only able to have about 50 children. And then it was decided 2 years ago that we really need to double this up. Because whenever we had 50 children coming, there was always a few disappointed. Maybe 10 or 15 didn't get going because there weren't enough spaces. So 2 years ago, it was decided that we would take away 100 children aged 7 to 11 away in these camps. I don't know if you're familiar with them or if you know anything about them. Do pray for these efforts. The first camp will be at the end of July this year. The second will be in the first week of August. And there will be 100 children away from across our denomination to these camps. And it's just doubled. And every place is always taken. Children have been saved at those camps. Others have been edified and strengthened to be able to, on the last night, get up and give a wee word of testimony. Others, you want to hear them in the little devotions in their prayer time. It would do your heart good. And for the adults themselves, we have bonded together, and we've made a lot of new friends, a lot of new contacts. And even for the children growing up, they've made lifelong friends across their denomination. And they do meet them when they're older in youth fellowship settings as well. So do pray for that. That has really expanded. Another part of the work that has really expanded over this last 15 years was the idea to do training seminars. You see, you can't do everything by yourself. And we delight when we come along to the churches to see those who have like precious faith, who have a real love for children's work. And the desire was just to share what knowledge we had, mainly the mistakes that we made and the things that we corrected, and to share our various experiences over the years. And just to help us all to learn and to maybe do this work in a better, more responsive way, and get the very best out of the children and get the very best for the Lord as we seek to train them. And so that started away back in 2013. A lot of it was integrated with the Christian Workers Training Academy. And then last year, the Reverend McKee, he then again re-established the whole idea of the home missionaries, the children's evangelists, to be very heavily involved in these training seminars. And they've been a great success. And people have gone away with their little booklets, with their information, and they've gone back to their own works. And they've been maybe a help to others to try and do things. And just maybe a better way, help with the discipline, help with the different issues, even with regards to how best to set out a hall. Do you know, if you have your little hall set out wrong, your meeting could be a disaster before you start. And so very simple things just need to be laid out, and we'll learn so much. Iron sharpeneth iron, and that verse goes on to tell that it helps your looks because your countenance then is bright and fair. And so there's a verse for you to look up if you want to stay youthful and young and good looking like me, Auntie Joyce and Auntie Christina. Another thing that really has taken off was really born out of lockdown, and that's the online ministry, where we weren't able to meet in the meetings, and we then had to set up a studio, we had to do filming, we had to produce videos, and today there is online over 100 videos of various lengths and various types for use. It's very good material. It has been put together in a very professional manner. And perhaps you maybe know of someone who, and you're maybe shy and you don't like to maybe make a whole talking match, and you might feel you might get tripped up. And you know the little ones, and you love to see those little ones in God's house. Well, here's a starting place for you. Very easy. FPC kids. Just say to them, FPC kids, look that up on the internet, on YouTube and Facebook. There's some great stuff that your children would enjoy it. And leave it with them. It's all there, over 100 videos. And you know, our church has always, always been very evangelical. On a Lord's Day, as a little boy, I can remember that our churches always tried to get out beyond the four walls of the building. And I remember on the Lord's Day, as a wee boy, a man at the front with an old tape machine and a wee handheld microphone, and he would hold it out. And this particular man, I remember him as well. He used to think he was quite a good singer, so where they were singing, he had the microphone like this. But he always tried to get the message picked up, and they would run off a few tapes and hand them out. We've got a little bit more sophisticated, of course. We have our CD systems now, and we have our DVDs, and now we're online, and you have sermon audio, and you have Facebook, and you have YouTube, and you have all these different platforms. But you know, throughout all those years, and I don't think I'm wrong in saying this, and nobody has corrected me thus far, we have been very evangelical beyond the four walls, but there's been no material for the children. But now there is. Lots of it. And we ought to use it while it's there. Another thing that has really taken off over the years, maybe wasn't the norm 10 or 15 years ago, it certainly is now, and it is the holiday Bible clubs. Again, these are a tremendous effort, a tremendous way of getting into the community, a wonderful means of bringing parents in, maybe on the Sunday. And we love to be able to be involved in those. Our whole summer is taken up with holiday Bible clubs. We can take our holidays a wee bit earlier or a wee bit later, but those months when the children are off and the weather's favourable, we like to get those holiday Bible clubs up and running up and down the country. Another thing that really came out of lockdown was a thing that we began to do, and it was fondly called our little pop-up meetings. During the lockdown, whenever people weren't allowed to gather together, the restrictions were being eased, we put it to our own session that we could go out into the community, out into the estates. And so we asked our session for a gazebo. Now, if you don't know what a gazebo is really a very expensive tent with no sides in it. That's what a gazebo is. And so we got this gazebo, we did a little leaflet drop, and we just went into the housing estates, and we just moved from one area to another, to another, to another. And you know, we have to say of a truth that our Sunday schools and our children's meeting were greatly depleted during all the lockdowns. They were really, really brought away down to zero. But with these other little avenues, the Lord just filled up again what was lost on this side. And we can rejoice tonight that many of the children in our children's meetings were born out of coming into those little open-air meetings. And the Lord greatly blessed. Another part of the work that has really flourished over the years that we've looked into in a great way is Christian literature for children. You know, it's an ongoing part of the ministry. There is out there a lack of sound material. I would know if you're a Sunday school teacher, having done it myself, you really need to go into a Bible bookshop and really need to read the whole story from start to finish, because you just sometimes don't know what you're buying. And it's good to be able to get good sound material. Our mission board put it to the home missionaries involved in children's work to produce 5 tracks. We have 5 beautiful tracks for boys and girls. If you're involved in children's work here and you want those, you can get them, you can access them through our mission board office in Kilkeel. Or if you want to contact me, there's no problem. There's 5 lovely little tracks there for boys and girls. And there's also a little booklet that was printed and established for those who are saved. And it's lovely, it's colourful, it's child-friendly, and it's a real tool of value for a little one who has gotten saved, maybe comes from an unsaved background, to read through that, to know how to pray, know how to witness, know how to even worship, know how to read their Bible. And so this Christian material, this literature, do pray over it. Now, you might not remember all aspects of what we've touched on tonight, but there may be one or two things that the Lord will lay on your heart. But we want just to finish by saying this. Yes, the work was very small at the beginning. But with Job, we can really say that the latter end has greatly increased. And the truth of the matter is this, we could do easily with 10 full-time workers in our denomination. 3 is really not enough. And I would pray that the Lord would put it upon your heart to ask the Lord, could you be of use to him in this matter? You know, I was mentioning earlier that I get into about 50 schools. But in the whole grand scheme of things, there are over 800 primary schools alone in Northern Ireland. I'm only getting into 5% of them. If you were to come home having done a test and boasted about 5% of an achievement, it's not much to boast on. And I'm so glad tonight that many of our men and our other home missionaries are able to get into schools. But with all of that, I would say there's a good 60, 70% slipping through the net. Never get to hear what they need to hear by way of salvation. Never get to hear of their need of the Lord Jesus. And you see, there's a problem in children's work that's very unique to children's work. It's not found so much anywhere else. And it's this: children are only children for a very short time. We need to realize that. And I can tell you this, the devil has put in place efforts to steal our children's childhoods from them. Because today you would hardly get a child over the age of 10 in a children's meeting. They're all worldly wise. They've all been exposed to things that they should never be exposed to, and things that an adult shouldn't be exposed to. And today, we've lost them already. And so we need to work, and to work fast. You know, an old judge once said, a child brought up in Sunday school, or children's meeting, or youth fellowship, but a child brought up in Sunday school, he said, is seldom brought up before me. Now, I don't know if that old man had any spiritual insight to what he was saying, but there's a lot of truth in it. You see, God's precious word has a curbing influence upon sinners. And not only that, it has a converting influence upon sinners. It's the power of God unto salvation. And we have something that our children need. And if we're withholding it from them, then we'll give answer. You know, I often, as we go around our churches, we admire all our lovely buildings. And many of our churches have lovely halls and have lovely galleries. But those galleries in the main are empty. And we need to be faithful to the Lord in the place of prayer. And my heart's belief is this, that the Lord could fill those galleries tomorrow. And I believe he'll take from the generations to come. But we need to be faithful. We need to be found praying for them. We need to be found praying for our ministers and for the work in general. And tonight I would covet your prayers afresh. I do thank you for your prayers. I do thank you for your support. And I do thank you tonight for your listening ear. And I trust that this little report will be a blessing to your heart. And as we show you the slides now, that will all come together. And then we're going to hand over to our brother. And then whenever we go off air, there's just one other item that I want to share with you. But we'll come to that in a few minutes. Okay? Thank you very much.
Almost a word from here, so you're right.